the him trying to be controlling, that part of it, I think, was what the mom knew about. I don't know if it was necessarily, you know, as she was privy to as much as, you know, we're starting to learn now.
Kiki kept the DV to herself, it seems, but she definitely didn't keep his penis size to herself, because the mama kept referencing that too. I'm like, why does the mama keep talking about his package in such detail? What is Kiki been saying?
What up, what up, what up, what up? It's Three Brothers No Sense, your favorite barbershop style podcast. I am Tavares Ferguson, aka Ferg, join my co-host, Buff and Rizzy. Fellas, season's greetings.
Season's greetings and all that good stuff. The Iron Bowl, man. It never disappoints. And like, I can say that as I'm not a Crimson Tide or War Eagle fan, but
War damn Eagle.
I tend to watch it a lot of years, and just the way, I mean, we had the kick six 10 years ago. I don't know what they've dubbed this one yet. I'm sure there'll be a name for it, but what was it? 4th and 31, Rizzy? Something like that.
Somewhere, yeah. It was, yeah.
And that, what a crazy game, man. I mean, props to the SEC. Well, those teams in particular, Iron Bowl, Alabama and Auburn, man. It's always a good game. Always close, no matter what the rankings are. So I enjoyed that. I do want to talk about the fact that there is major... First off, we've been gone for 2 weeks. So welcome back, listeners. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. All that good stuff. There's division among conservatives. I mean, this whole... this Gaza-Israel war... It is like dividing people on the right, like unlike anything I've seen in a long time. You got Candace Owens and Ben Shapiro beefing. You got Tucker Carlson and Ben Shapiro beefing. You got members of the Republican Party that are not agreeing with continuing to fund Israel for this, while you got other members saying, no, we have to. So it's just been interesting to see how you got the old school love to go to war type of conservatives. And now you have these conservatives like, wait a minute, we need to spend that money in America. We need to keep giving them money. So that's been interesting to watch. And last, since we've been gone, man, it's been a ton of music that has dropped. We got Andre, speaking of division, we got Andre 3000 that dropped his flute album, The New Blue Sun. You got Rick Ross and Meek Mill, Lil Wayne and 2 Chainz. I think Jeezy came out right before we recorded last time, but it's still relatively new. So a lot of songs on there. So you may have to take a few days to listen to that. And then Drake, because of the criticism, I mean, he literally said it on one of his songs, like because of the criticism he got for All My Dogs, he dropped Scary Hours 3 and kind of going at some of his critics like Joe Budden, took a few shots at Pusha T, Kanye. Some are speculating whether or not he took a shot at Kendrick Lamar. I don't think he wants that, but I think he did take a shot at him. So a lot of new music out there for you to check out, man. So that's all I got. It's been a lot that's happened since we gone. I'm sure we may or may not touch on some of it, but it's a lot that has happened since we left.
Yeah, man. And did y'all see Drake is releasing the instrumentals for the album, so, and he's like making sure that anybody can get it, and he wants them to rap over it. So he's coming back to the streets a little bit for this one. So I like it.
That's all I got.
Me, man.
I left out a big story. I'm gonna see if one of y'all touch on it.
maybe we'll see. All right. I don't know, but welcome to Good Burger, home of the Good Burger. I can't remember the rest of it, but...
May I
take your order? Yeah, that... So, you know, I know you guys love the shit on Arby's, but Good Burger 2 is coming out, and Arby's has a Good Burger now. So, if you want a Good Burger, hit up Arby's. They have the meats, and get you a Good Burger. So, why y'all... Like, anyway, shout out to...
Have you tried it?
No, I have not tried it, because I got COVID, and I can't go nowhere and do nothing right now. So, but as soon as I get out of this COVID slump that I'm in, I'm going to go try it and see how it tastes. I mean, I did try Arby's burger when they brought the burger out, and it actually is pretty good. They cook it as a medium, so it's a little pinker in the middle than most people are used to with their burgers, but that makes it juicier. So actually their burgers aren't bad, and so I'm kind of excited. I think the good burger would be a good burger. Get it? No. So anyway, yeah, so with that, I do have COVID, and so I am glad that I was safe and didn't expose anybody else. So I found out right around Thanksgiving, so that night of Thanksgiving. And for any of our listeners that don't know, we had this big thing called All Class Reunion at John L. LaFleur High School. And so we were super excited about going there. And because I started feeling sick and I thought I had the flu, I opted not to go to All Class and expose everybody to it. And I'm glad I did, because I found out yesterday, we're recording on Sunday, so I found out Saturday that I do have COVID. I'm positive for COVID. So I would have been out there in those streets just raw dogging the air and being a super spreader to folks. So, you know, good thing that I did kind of make that decision. So, folks, please, if you are feeling sick, things like that, go take a test. COVID's still out there. COVID's real. And it can definitely harm people. I mean, people are still dying from it. So don't think that it's over or whatever. We still are in COVID times. So
did you get your COVID and flu vaccine this year?
I got the flu vaccine, not the COVID vaccine. I didn't get the booster for it or whatever. And so maybe that's it. I didn't get a booster, but I ended up with the flu anyway. And so, you know, I don't know if those matter much. But yeah, I didn't get that booster. So maybe that's it for. But either way, yeah, so I'm sick. I'm sitting over here. I'm sweating, then I'm hot, then I'm cold, trying to figure out all that out. So you guys might not hear from me as much today on the show, but you guys know I love to talk, so we'll probably figure it out, and I'll still push through it. And last but not least, man, the Marvels dropped. So anybody who's on this MCU thing, it dropped, and then it dropped. Over the 2 weeks, it had the lowest opening for any MCU film, and then it had the largest second week drop of any MCU film. I think it was like 78% drop. They haven't even broken $100 million domestically yet. And they spent almost $200 million on development for the production budget of it. So they aren't going to break even on it. They aren't going to cover any of the costs. There's a bunch of folks saying why they think that the Marvels did bad. But ultimately, I don't think it was a good it wasn't a good movie. Ultimately, I mean, when it comes down to it, and Hollywood has to kind of wake up. Disney has been taking L after L. Wish opened up this weekend, and it's bombing at the box office too. So it's just all the movies right now. People are, it's too expensive to go to the movies for bad movies. It used to be that you used to be able to ride out on, oh, it's a Disney movie, we're going to make money. It's an MCU movie, we're going to make money. And it's not like that anymore. People are being really particular. Especially Disney has to think through it, and Marvel has to think through, you know, they are a normal movie now. It's not where you can just ride on the name. You have to actually make a good movie, promote it, make people want to go see it. And that's, I think, Marvel's biggest issue. Because what I'm hearing about the Marvels is it's actually an okay movie. It's a pretty good movie. It's not horrible. But at the same time, people aren't going to go spend the money that they would for an okay movie. And so Marvel just can't lean on the Marvel brand. They have to make good movies.
They're accusing it of being woke too, and they've been after Brie Larson since the first Captain Marvel. It's just that wave, the whole Infinity Saga wave, was just so strong that, you know, it overcame that and made like $2 billion, I think. But now I think the whole woke argument is caught up with Marvel, and they feel like she as a person is woke, and they feel like the character in the movie is too woke, which I disagree. I think Marvel has other problems, but I think that narrative is starting to catch up with them.
Yeah, it's, but they aren't. I mean, they are looking at diversity. I think the problem isn't the wokeness of it all. I think what it is the most popular characters aren't these characters, right? Captain Marvel wasn't this super popular character that people are riding on. The MCU rode on nostalgia. People try to say, oh, well, Iron Man was a B-list character, Thor was a B-list character, but they've had Avengers cartoons all the way back into the 80s and 90s, right? Like, we knew those characters. Even if they weren't the most popular of the characters, we knew those characters, and there was nostalgia around them. There was never a nostalgia around Captain Marvel, right? Nobody knows Photon. Like, Miss Marvel just came out in the last 15 years. So it's like, if you're not a true comic nerd, you're not going to know those characters and be like, ooh, I really want to go see those characters. If they had made a Storm movie, it wouldn't have been, there's no thought about, oh, that's being woke, right? It's like, Storm is the character we know and love. Cool, let's make a movie about her. Nobody would have said anything about that. So I think what's happening is, they're picking characters and people are saying, who are these folks? And they're thinking, oh, you're just making it a woke movie. You're just making a women's feminine movie because, you know, you have to. And so now you're picking these obscure characters to give us this and force feed it down our throat. That's the problem, I think. I think they need to get to their bigger characters and use those for those women liberation empowerment type things and use those secondary characters as secondary characters. And I think that argument will kind of dissipate a little bit, but it's also stupid. I mean, it's a stupid argument anyway. I mean, if the movie's good, I don't think you get that from it just being woke, right? Like, unless you're force feeding these kind of women's tropes and these women liberation tropes in there, you wouldn't get that, right? Okay. Like,
exactly. They did that once. I felt like they did that once. It was just a scene that kind of was like, okay, that was corny.
Endgame.
But it was Endgame. I was like, okay, guys.
But it was kind of cool. It was one of those things that I'm trying to make an iconic shot, right? Like, there's some little girl might like that and be like, oh, I want to put that on my screen. I doubt it, but you know, maybe. And so sometimes you do have to put those in there. They don't have to look so forced, but you know, I think they can do that. What's up, Fert?
I think it was an okay movie. It wasn't bad. I took the family to see it. I think we rather enjoyed it. I think what it is we still live in the world where people want their superheroes white and male. I mean, that's still a big part of it. And if you're going to give me a female, you need to give me this A-list group of females. There's only so many women that right now, or female characters that can turn it around or just make it a box office hit. It's sad because we talk about representation a lot. You know, let's give Disney, let's give them the benefit of the doubt and say, you know, let's try to give some representation. I mean, you know, in the last couple of years, they had Namor as Hispanic, and you know, you got the Black Panther coming out. They made Thor a female. You know, they've done a lot of things, and it seems like all those things get pushed back. And it's still, you know, it's a sign of what we, and I'm not saying myself, but what we really want. You know, if you're going to introduce me to somebody new, introduce me to a white guy. You know, that's what it comes down to. You know, Miss Marvel, I don't even know what were her numbers. Or Captain Marvel, the initial movie.
The initial movie did over $1 billion. It did really, really well.
I think it reached close to $2 billion worldwide, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. Yeah. And so then you throw in two other females, lesser known characters who aren't white or male. The antagonists. Female. I mean, and then also a good movie has to have a good villain. I was not really impressed by the villain in the Marvels.
Yeah,
I think that's the thing. Marvel has not really had good villains.
That's always been an Achilles heel for them. It was like the only ones were like Loki for a while. Some Thanos. People said Killmonger. Mm-hmm. And of course, Thanos was like,
that's it.
They even killed, like, Gore the God Butcher would have been great, but then you had the whole Love and Thunder from Thor, and the rest of the movie sucked, so it kind of took away from Christian Bale in that. But Gore was a really good villain, but again, they didn't do it very much. They didn't do him really well. But they have so many good villains. That's the problem. Like, they misuse Venom, right? Well, that's Sony, but they misuse them. The Fantastic Four, when Fox did them, and they had Galactus and Doom, like, some of their best villains just aren't being used right now. So they're pulling out these B-list characters, and their, you know, villains are just C-list, if not D-list. So some of the villains that they're pulling out just aren't that great. And then they're not doing them justice when they go through the movie.
You have to, people want to get somebody, nostalgia sells, or recognition sells. Somebody I can, you know, I've heard this name before. The God Butcher, not really. I still don't remember the name of the villain from the Marvels. That was the most recent movie I saw. So, well, best of luck to them. It was a pretty good movie. It was a good family movie. My daughter enjoyed it, which was great.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, to me, that's all that matters, because my son has plenty of things to watch and relate. You know, he's a Sonic fan, so he can relate to Sonic. My daughter can relate to Photon, you know, so it is what it is. Outside of that, how was your Turkey Day? I don't even like calling it Turkey Day anymore, because I don't know if people are still eating turkey. I feel like Thanksgiving is becoming less traditional.
We had turkey here, and it was good. It was good. Fried it, second time doing that, so I think I've mastered it now. Because it got even a bigger bird than last year. So Tad would have definitely challenged me by doing that. But everything came out good, man. Okay. Jasmine made an Asian-inspired dessert that I don't think she cared for, but it was good to see her try something new. But it was good. I ate some of it, too, because I just was proud of her for even doing it. So,
okay.
Good day. It was a good day, man.
Ooh, cool. What was it that she made? Do you know? Was it like mochi or?
It was made with red beans. So
red bean pastry or something like that. Yeah.
So it was like this red bean mush, and then you wrapped it in dough, and then you steamed it. So, but it wasn't bad. It was just, you know, when you eat a dessert, you don't expect red beans.
Yeah, that's definitely a huge, I know she's in the anime, and that's like real big in like Japanese culture and anime and stuff. Yeah, they do red bean paste, red bean like dumplings, and all kind of stuff. They have a red bean
stew.
Exactly
what it was.
Yeah. Cool.
But I ate some for my baby.
Yeah. Now, it was good for us. I went down to Mobile, and it's weird because I'm the only one that's outside the city now. All my sisters and my mom are in Mobile now, back in Mobile. And so it was kind of cool. I got to walk in and not have to do anything but bring that cranberry sauce, because I'm traveling. I'm the only one traveling. So that's how I ended up with the cranberry sauce. And didn't even bring that, actually. So they already had some, so they didn't even use my can. But
bro, I don't even know what to say.
But no, it was good, man. Just having everybody together, like you said, the family being there. You know, I started feeling sick towards the end of the day, and so everybody like threw me in a bedroom and wouldn't let me come out, so I didn't get to participate in the last few hours of everything. But it was still good, man, just seeing everybody together, laughing, joking, and just hanging out together, being together. You know, it's our second year without my dad, and so it still was kind of awkward a little bit. But you know, my mom was in good spirits, and that was really you know, helpful that she was in a good spirit. And I think it was just having all the family there and everybody together. So we just kind of rode with it, man, and had a good time. So yeah, shouts out. It was a really good Thanksgiving.
Likewise, I hosted people at the house. We did have a turkey. One of our guests brought a smoked turkey, and it was delicious. Really was. Glad he brought it. And then we did, we had a fish fry. So fish, shrimp, red beans and rice, mac and cheese, greens, you know, just kind of southern, good southern meal. But we had good people over, enjoyed ourselves, good to see my nieces home from college. Also got to, you know, I volunteer the day before. Well, the week of Thanksgiving with various community service opportunities, but I always like doing giving back, especially around the holidays. Meaningful community service is really big to me. Things where you can see an immediate impact and you can see the change that you're providing to people. So that was good as well. But Thanksgiving was good. One of my favorite, if not my favorite holiday. So another thing, shout out to the FAMU Rattlers for being the SWAC East champions, getting ready to participate in the SWAC championship game this weekend against Prairie View, who we already beat homecoming. So hopefully we can repeat that and go represent the SWAC in the Big Bowl game. So Celebration Bowl in Atlanta. So hopefully that happens really fast. So anything else, fellas? Y'all ready to jump into it?
Let's jump.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And Sophie can't come in and tell a joke because she can't come in and be near me. So, and I don't have one. So we're just going to go. So who's up first? Maybe I'll slide a joke in there somewhere later on.
Okay. I thought you were going to use the one Hooli gave you one this week.
He did.
In the text thread.
So. Great. You want to deliver it? You remember?
Not really. Because I didn't even catch on at first. I thought he was legitimately asking a question.
All right, Buff, let's go. Let you go first today, sir.
All right, this is kind of like a repeat question.
Okay.
But it kind of narrows it down to something more specific, because I can't remember if you asked Ferd or if I asked, but I remember we asked what three people would you want to have dinner with. So It's this question is pretty much the same, but slightly different. What famous person would you like to meet? And what specifically would you want to discuss with them? So we're removing all the, I wouldn't want to meet such and such because they probably wouldn't have the time of day for me. Like, we're assuming that this person, you know, wants to, you know, is open to speaking with you about whatever it is you want to talk about. And it isn't going to be an asshole, because a lot of these celebrities, they say you never want to meet your favorite famous person.
Your heroes, yeah.
yeah, you never want to meet your heroes. So let's assume they're not behaving like that, and you get to discuss whatever it is that you want with them. Who and what would the topic be? Living, by the way. I know sometimes we do this, living or dead. Living.
Yeah, because I was definitely thinking about somebody that was dead, so okay. All right, that changes things a little bit. I'll probably go with Wozniak from Apple fame. So you guys know the Woz worked with Steve Jobs and everything when Apple was kind of getting together, and everybody, not Apple, I mean, he was with Microsoft. So, so he I got brain fog, but he was the one that actually did most of the developing and all that stuff when who was it over Microsoft? Not Jobs, but Gates. Bill Gates. Yeah. So he worked with Bill Gates. And so a lot of folks say that Bill Gates wasn't a developer. He did a little bit, but it was Woz that actually did everything with Microsoft. And so he is the one that understands technology and the future of technology and what's happening. We talk about AI and all that and what's going to happen. I'd want to see where he sees technology going, where he sees AI going, where he sees what we can do with it, and try to find that next big idea what, you know, you could use it for that I could maybe make some money off of. Because ultimately, that's really what I want to do. I want to figure out what's the next thing that in the next wave and how I can kind of latch on and figure it out. Because he's just so in the know with everything. You know, you could maybe say Elon or somebody like that may be able to kind of do that same thing. But I feel like even Elon, you saw what he did with X, formerly known as Twitter, right? I don't think he understands the technology behind what he buys. I think he's just like, I'm going to market, I'm going to brand it, and I'm going to go from there. So I want to get down to the tech behind it and see what's going to happen. And so I think that's what Waz can do for me.
Okay. I'm not surprised. I thought you might have wanted to get some famous anime artists or somebody who...
I would like to talk to Oda. Ichiro Oda is over One Piece. That would be kind of a cool... I want to know what happened. Or George R.R. Martin, right? And figure out how the hell Game of Thrones actually was supposed to end, because season 7 and season 8, But, I'll keep that mystery for when Winds of Winter never shows up, because he's never going to finish that book. So I don't think that's ever happening.
Ooh, that is a tough one. I don't even know. This is going to be weird, and I don't even know this person, but I was very interested in learning more about my family and my ancestry over the last few years. So let me Google, find out who this person is. I want to find out who is the creator of African ancestry. And just really sit down and pick their brain on, like, for one, how they got all this information, what their ultimate goal and with it outside of just, you know, if it's just a moneymaker, then great. But was there a real plan to use this information to help connect Black families, help connect people from, you know, who feel maybe there's a part of them missing? You know, I think there is a huge benefit to, of course, identity, but understanding, you know, your ancestry, your culture, you know, trying to relate, you know.
And I guess why African ancestry versus like ancestry.com, other than it's, they may know more about the history of,
I think they know more about it. Like, they are actually, because I've done 23andMe and Ancestry DNA. Is that the other one? Mm-hmm. I've done them both, and they have good information, and they're getting more information, but it's focused worldwide and it's very vague, especially when you get into a lot of the African cultures, and even with a lot of the newer American data, right? It's like, your people come from North Carolina, you know, best of luck finding that information out and stuff like that, because African ancestry is supposed to go down and be able to get down to specific areas, specific tribes in Africa, and say, hey, almost like, hey, your people are from Plateau in Nigeria. Like, this is the area, you know, this little 10-mile square block is where your people are from. So, and just wanted to figure out why they focused on that. I'm hoping. Let me look it up. So it's Paige and Rick Kittles. That doesn't, it's not sounding very, sounding very Black.
They found a niche and they went for it.
Yeah. I mean, there's always a niche, right? Like, that's how you make money. You find a niche. It is what it is, you know? It's a good thing and a bad thing. A lot of niches come from personal needs, right? Like, if you tried doing all these things or tried tracing your ancestry and you're like, you just kept hitting brick walls, it's, who else wants to know this? Who else would like to do this? You know, so I think that's where it would be, because I don't know. I don't get impressed by the average celebrity. Things I think I'm more of a thoughtfulness, people who wanted to create or have a change in something. If not that, then I would just want to be mentored by whoever is the largest black mentoring organization, their CEO or and figure out how to turn that into something for myself, because that's what my passion is. It's mentoring. So
nice.
But I haven't even researched enough.
And before Buff starts, I want to make a correction. Woz was with Apple and Steve Jobs. I don't know how I got on the Microsoft side of it, but yes, it was Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak, but so it was the Steves. But yeah, he was on the Apple side. So I want to correct myself on that. Told y'all, brain fog, it's a part of it.
Gotcha. I actually did not have an answer to this question. I was, as you guys were answering, I was just trying to think like who, because most of these famous people, it's really not a lot that I want to talk to them about. Politicians, they're so polished. I don't want to get, you know, some talking point type of answer. So I came up with two possible answers. One is I was wondering what I want to speak with every black billionaire and ask them, do they have any interest in starting, you know, like a black owned bank? And a lot of the things that Arazio's buddy talks about, like, does any of that, Umar Johnson, by the way, does any of that get to them? And is that something that they have attempted and just found roadblocks that they were not able to get through? But my other one is, I think how we're portrayed in the media and stuff is very important. It definitely plays a big part in how racism remains in this country and how black people are perceived. And then you look at how women deal with a lot of that as well. And I was trying to think of like one of the more famous black women journalists. And I came up with Gayle King. I'm not sure if she's a journalist, but she does a lot of reporting and stuff. And I just would like to ask her, because she's been accused of being too critical when it comes to like black people that are going through something versus white people. Like, a lot of people like to point out how she was friendly with Harvey Weinstein, her and Oprah were. But then she has said like very critical things about, I think, Chris Brown or whatever like that. Robin Roberts has gotten a lot of this as well. So she can fall into this category also. But I would like to ask them, have they felt pressure to be harder on black celebrities because it was so hard for them to get where they are, that they feel compelled to try to prove that, hey, I can be tough on my own people in order to please their bosses? Is something that they felt, or is that just something that black people are just sensitive about when it comes to our celebrities and will criticize you anytime you're critical of an R. Kelly, of a Chris Brown, of a T.I. or anybody who has gotten in trouble multiple times? I just would like to see what type of pressure they felt, not only in the position that they're in now, but as they climb the ranks, what type of things did they feel like they had to sacrifice or do in order to get to where they are? Do they regret anything they've done? So just a whole conversation about behind the scenes and media and how everything is portrayed and how stories are packaged and given to us, and to get some insight from them. Because while I don't agree with a lot of the criticism, I do think there is something to some of it. And so, like, we remember Snoop Dogg going off on Gayle King, because one of the first things she brought up right after Kobe's death was the rape accusation. And it was an accusation. He wasn't even convicted of it. It was an accusation that got settled before it ever went to any type of criminal trial. And so for her to bring that up, that pissed a lot of black people that were already mad at her off. So just would love to see and get information from her or Robin Roberts on those type of things.
Yeah.
And that's just something I thought of because I could not think of an answer to say.
And that's sad though, bro, that like our most famous people out there, you don't really want to pick their brain on much, right? And that's a sad state of affairs where we're like, yeah, I really don't want to talk to that person. because of, like you said, it's either I think they're super smart, but they're going to give me some polished answer and I'm not going to get the real from them because you feel like they're fake. I hate to say it like that, but like when you talk about politicians and everything, like, can I would love to talk to Obama, but am I going to get the real Obama? Right. Like, off of it. Like, unless I'm in his inner circle where I can sit and laugh and joke with him, am I really going to get the real Obama? And I think so. If you put it in that terms of, you know, you're going to get the real them, like they're going to open up, they're going to give you everything about the real, then yeah, it probably would be Obama. Right. Like, you want to talk to him. But again, I didn't pick him for that same reason. I didn't feel like I was going to get the real him. I didn't feel like I was going to get everything that I needed out of that conversation. And so it's just really sad, man. And also, social media gives you this. They all have this platform, right? I can go follow them and get probably all the nuggets that they have off their social media.
That's why I didn't name Bomani Jones, because I love Bomani Jones, but I feel like I damn near know pretty much every answer to what I would want to ask him.
Yeah.
So there would be no need for it. Plus, I made it hard by saying they have to be alive, because most of the people are dead that I would love to have spoken to.
Yeah, that's another thing. And I think it's because you have answers that you can't get questions you can't get the answers to anymore, right? Yeah. So that's exactly why, you know, I had to shift when you said they had to be alive.
Well, and maybe this is me, and I don't think I'm that easily impressed by people. I think because we have access to people now, you know, we're not as easily, you know, what do I really want to know? Like Obama, like you said, there's a few people, but at the end of the day, I feel like it would be very canned. You know, would I get the real then? What would I take from him outside? Man, I got to talk to Obama. You know, he's going to tell me to stay in school and eat my vegetables and, you know, that kind of stuff. I don't know, you know. What would I really gain from those conversations? And
yeah, because it's so often people look at celebrities and people with big names as the most knowledgeable in the room, and like you say, we have networks and we have access to people that are really knowledgeable about this stuff. Like, I have doctors that work at the CDC that I can in my phone that I can call. I have high power lawyers. I know C-suite individuals in Fortune 500 companies in my phone that I can call. So it's like, oh, because they're a celebrity doing it, it's like I have just as much access with people that I could get the real from. So why would I be like, oh yeah, I want to talk to Jamie Dimon, who's the CEO of Citibank, I think, or is it Chase? I can't remember. Jamie Dimon is one of them, of the big three. And so why would I want to, like, oh yeah, I'm gonna go talk to him when I could go talk to, you know, our chief economist at PNC right now? Like, you know, I could just chat him, like, hey, can I ask you a couple questions? So it's one of those things that I could get down to the information much, much faster with my network that I have right now. I know most people don't have that. And so they may just be like, well, I want to talk to Jamie. But I think ultimately, you know, it's we're at that level that we have that access that a lot of people may not have. Like with you, but if you could just randomly be like, hey, Senator, whoever, your congresswoman, whoever, you know, let me ask you this. And they'll probably give you the time of day. Right. So it's a very different for us saying we want to talk to them than you talking to them.
Oh, that was a lot of flexing you did, by the way.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So didn't want to let you escape without saying that.
Yeah, we got a bunch of now, buddy. That's a you. That's a you.
You got them too, Bird. You know that, like.
Yeah. So, good question. Good question. Well, your question actually is going to kind of segue because I'm into my question. I kind of finished by saying I don't think we're that easily impressed with people. Would you guys agree?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a us thing, where we're at in our lives thing, you know, age thing. It's just a new cultural thing where our expectations of people have grown. So one of the things I just mentioned that I love mentoring, and I've been challenged several times to get my own mentor. We've talked about this before, you know. And this is a couple of years ago. We had this conversation, and this was probably maybe our first season. We talked about mentoring and finding a mentor. So my question is multiple. Do you guys have a mentor? If why or why not? And if you had to find one, what are the things that you would look for in a mentor? Because this is personal, because I'm looking to find a mentor, and I've had my personal challenges with finding one. And maybe you guys can Three Brothers No Sense for a lot of my knowledge. So maybe you guys can shed some light on how I'm going about this, and maybe I'm going about it the wrong way.
Officially, no. Unofficially, yes. And I'll say the mentors I've had, they didn't necessarily know they were my mentor, so to speak, but I definitely picked their brains on a lot of important things that I needed help with. So I never just say, hey, you're my mentor, but like I say, unofficially they were. And what I look for is someone who can challenge me to think outside the box on certain issues. Doesn't necessarily always agree with me. Like, we have similarities in what we think about certain things, but you know, every once in a while, if you know, my response to something is this, they can be that type of person that's like, well, hold on, have you looked at it from this way? Or maybe you should do this. So I want to be challenged at times, and I want someone that's knowledgeable. Like, you know, we talk about social media all the time on this show, but there are so many, you know, all of a sudden there's these tax experts, there's these LLC experts. Everybody knows what to invest in and flip money and all that kind of stuff. No, thanks. I'm good. I want actual experts that have failed and learned from them, and you know, have succeeded eventually after, you know, learning from their failures, so they can tell you what to avoid, what not to do, what you should do. And you know, they've been through what I'm going through at the time or about to go through. Example, if I'm thinking about getting into real estate, they've been in it for years. You know, they stumbled here, they failed there, now they're succeeding here and there, things like that. So that's what I would look for. But again, not officially, but unofficial mentors.
So you brought up a couple good things. So do you think it's important to have that, not that title, but that connection or that knowledge? Like, hey, I'm Byron, I'm coming to you. Like, I'm, you know, that understanding of the relationship, one. And two, you mentioned a couple of things like real estate and stuff like that. Are you looking for a single mentor, or would you be looking for a single mentor for each kind of category of life that they, you know, that you can get? Or is like, you want somebody who, you know, if I was 25 and I had access to you or Rozzy, I could look to you guys for mentorship on multiple levels, right? Not just, you know, I got homeboys who make a lot of good money doing stuff, you know, this and that. But when it comes to their family life, you know, it's like, well, they've kind of kicked the family to the curb. Or people who are just super family people, and it's just like, you know, you're living check to check and you're not setting yourself up for this and that, you know. So those are some things. I don't know if you want to answer those now, or Rozzy, you want to jump into it, and Buff, we can come back to you.
I just said I've always had more than one person that I looked at as a mentor. So definitely not just a singular person.
Yeah, I agree. I'll answer that question first. I definitely think it's multiple. And it's mainly because, like you said, I'm going to take and look towards that mentorship for the positives that that person has gone through. Or sometimes it's the pain, right? Like, they can explain the things that held them back. Oh, I'm not succeeding in work because I did this, this, and this. And so watch out for those pitfalls, right? So while I look at you, I think mentorship comes from a respect level of I respect you as a person or as whatever, you know, that's there. And then we can kind of talk through the, you can give me advice. And sometimes it's not that you are the ultimate successful person in that. It's that I don't want you to be as bad as I did. I don't want you to go down this route. I went down that route and here's how it affected me. So be careful, right? So there's sometimes they can give you, they can be cautionary tales in mentorship as much as it is the, here's the blueprint to success. And so I think definitely you just got to take from each mentor what you can and build your own blueprint or your own roadmap based on that. So to answer your question, yes, I have multiple mentors. And I remember when we asked this question and we were like, oh, I don't think I have a mentor. And then I really started thinking about it. And I think it's because I was looking for that one mentor that I'm like, that's my mentor. And I go to them for everything. And I don't have that. And I don't think I'll ever have that. What I do have, though, is I have somebody at work that when I'm talking about how I navigate work and how I need to navigate the organization and those types of things, I have a couple people in work that kind of helps me out with that. I have a couple people in my career path that maybe not can't help me with the politics at my current organization, but career path and wise, hey, this is a good step for you. This would be a good move for you, that type of thing. I have somebody like that. I have somebody that I look to. I mean, truthfully, you know, up until 2 years ago when my dad died, it was like my dad was that family man mentor that I had, right? So I always had that to be like, well, what about this? What about this? And he'd be able to give me advice on that. And so now it's like I don't have that family man mentor anymore. But at the same time, I have you guys that I could talk to. So ultimately, it would be you guys, right, that I can kind of look up to and talk to, because we're at that point now that we've been through, we've seen a lot of the pitfalls. We're at that age where we can talk about family life together. We don't need a mentor to talk about it because we can mentor each other, right? More as peers. So I don't know if I need a true mentor in that anymore because, I mean, I've got enough life experience and friends that have life experience that we can mentor each other. So I think that's what happens is you find people that you respect, that you can go to and ask questions about your life. And you just want them to be able to give you that feedback because of life experiences, right? So I think it's just hard to find mentors at our age because at our levels, right, you're talking about I'm needing chiefs on the force, right, to be my mentor if I want somebody that's at a higher level than me that's going to talk to me about how to navigate this and that's been in the force longer, or I need the VP of my line of business or the president or the chief of my line of business. That's the person that I can actually talk to because everybody else is going to be my peers or below me. And so they really can't mentor you much, right, when they're asking you questions. You know, you probably know just as much, if not more than them in that role. So it's you do have to be intentional about reaching out. And it's funny, the one, my mentor inside of PNC, I literally reached out to him. I was like, hey, can I get on your calendar? I want some time. And I was like, can we just get a standing meeting once a month to just talk? Because I need some help navigating PNC. And by our second meeting, I was like, hey, you're my mentor, whether you know it or not. He's like, oh, no, that's fine. Right. Like it's one of those things that we like formally said he's my mentor because I'm like, I respect you enough. You're high level enough. You've been in the organization long enough. I need to know how to navigate this organization. And so that's how we kind of formed that like non-formal, because we have a formal mentoring kind of set, you know, thing. But at the same time, it was an informal, but he is my mentor. He knows that, you know, I look to him for mentorship. So that's kind of how I use it, man, is I've gotten out of the idea of having a single mentor because I don't think you're going to find that one person that can answer all your questions and get you everything you need. And just finding what you need and finding somebody that can provide that for you. And maybe they have an expanded knowledge set that can kind of cover some other things. But if not, you find another mentor for those other things. And then you end up with this mentorship group that you can kind of look to and say, hey, I've got these four or five people that I can call and get their input on this. And I know I'm going to be able to figure out what's happening based off that input from those folks.
Okay, fellas, thank you. I mean, that's very helpful. So you guys both gave me some things to think about. One being, Razi, you kind of hit it on the head. Like, I've been looking for that one mentor that's well-rounded enough. And I said, I don't think I'm great at any single thing. I'm just good enough or good at most things, you know? And it's like, I think my therapist even said, I'm kind of looking for that version of me, you know, that for 4.0, right? Like, they're like, okay, if I'm here, is there a version of me or somebody who's well-rounded enough that can give me the next steps? Right. And
I'll tell you, that gets harder and harder, the higher and higher level. Like, you, when you were FERG 1.0, you probably could find mentor for that was at FERG 2.0 that could get you to FERG 2.0, right? That single person. But FERG 3.0, you need two people to get you there, because there's no one person that can get you there, right? And so as you get more like higher leveled, it's just way harder to find that one individual person. You got to find multiple, because I mean, it's like getting a doctorate, right? You can't get a doctorate in all kind of stuff, right? You can go get a bachelor's and it's a general knowledge, right? Then you can get a master's and it's even more defined, but it's still a broad knowledge set. But then when you go get a PhD, it's like you're poking out and it's just like, I'm really, really good at this one thing. And so as you start hitting those rungs, you got to find people that can like cover multiple things, man. You can't look at one thing for it.
And I agree with that. And I think my challenge was, or my challenge still is getting past the fact that because you're, you know, that PhD in finance or whatever, do his strengths expose his weaknesses more? If that makes sense, right? You know, you have, you know, I know a lot of very successful people, like I was saying earlier, who are very career oriented. But when it comes to their families suffered. You know, they got it. You know, they out here, you know, they making great money and ain't tricking if you got it. They out here doing, living their best life, doing it all. But when it comes to the wife and kids, it's different. You know, they're able to say, you know, I live off 50% of my income and do this, this, and this, but you're a single person and, you know, your disposable income is different. Or somebody who's very family oriented, but they're not doing other things. You know, everything revolves around that. So it's kind of like, how do I find that balance? And I think that's part of, I'm very much into balance. You know, I'm not too one way or the other. That's why I feel like I don't really have any super special talents or anything like that, because I try to be so even keel with most things where, you know, I'm not all one way or the other. So guys have given me some things to think about. I'm going to take those things, what I call my values, that the things that are most important to me and the things that motivate me and how I maneuver life, and find a few people, you know, maybe some of those things can go hand in hand, but a few people to, you know, finances, you know, even mental health, you know, just some people who are just at peace at life. That's one thing. You know, how do you maintain all of this? Mm-hmm. You know, how do you be that loving husband, that loving father, that provider, but still not lose yourself and just stress yourself out? What are you doing with all that? So
yeah, and what I will tell you, because I mentor a lot of people, and the thing about mentoring is they oftentimes come to me wanting me to give them the roadmap, give them do this and then do this and do this. And like you say, you got to maintain balance. So don't go too far on this one. Don't far on this one. And I think it's you have to take from your mentor the nuggets of, hey, I'm in this specific situation. I need help with this thing. And they can give you some advice on that. So maybe the guy that is excelling at work, that's sucking it up as a family person, you're like, hey, I'm trying to get promoted to work. What I need to do. And that person can give you all the great advice to get promoted in that. Right. And so you have to decide, am I going to take that? And maybe it is, you know, not take going on my kids with this vacation, but I'm going to get promoted. And then I can kind of swing back, because it's not this all the time. Like we when we talked about, you know, putting your family or your wife before your kids, right? It's all about who needs the most win, right? It's not all the time the parent comes first or the wife comes first. All the time the kids come first. It's what needs to happen right now. And sometimes it's, hey, I got to focus on work so I can get this promotion or whatever. And that's going to be the next 6 months of my life. I'm about to grind this out so I can get this promotion. Manager position's coming open. I know it's coming open because my manager said that they're retiring and I want to be the one that they look at, yada, yada, yada. So I'm going to go to more after hour events and stuff like that. And so that mentor told you and gave you that playbook to have to do all of that, where they're good at that. They can get promoted. They can get you that. And so sometimes you got to take what the mentors give you and you got to make your own decision with it. So just make sure that you aren't going into a mentorship relationship. And I'm probably talking to the listeners more than anything else. Don't go into a mentoring relationship with saying, mentor, tell me exactly what I need to do. Because that's not how mentorship works. It really is them saying, here's some advice. Here's how you can navigate this. Here's how you can navigate this. But you got to take all that in and figure out what works for you based on that. So don't put that pressure on the mentor to have to tell you exactly what you need to do. I know you see it with the kids, right? It's like, what school should I go to? What should I pick? And what major should I? It's like, that's your decision. I can tell you, you know, pros and cons of any of these, but it's still your decision to make. And so I'm just here as guardrails, not necessarily that path.
Okay. Definitely good advice, fellas. My goal is going into 2024 by the end of by the end of January, to at least to have one mentor.
Definitely.
So I'll follow back up on that. Well, let's go ahead and close it on out, fellas. Who wants to go first?
Well,
we didn't miss your story.
We did not. We didn't actually. During our time away, I was able to visit the Book of Hope exhibit in Brooklyn, New York. So as this episode drops, you have exactly 1 week to make it. I saw Dilla Hay was asking, had anybody gone, and she'd like to really go. But anybody that's interested, if you can make it to New York, and if you're a Jay-Z fan, like you really need to be a Jay-Z fan to go. You have 1 week to make it there. It ends December 4th. It's free to get in. And it's really good, man. So check that out. Rozzy mentioned the all class reunion at the top of the show. I saw someone make a post where there was like the three top things in Mobile are Mardi Gras. I think two was the Senior Bowl and three was the LaFleur all class reunion. And people were like, LaFleur all class may be number two. Like it may have surpassed Senior Bowl. And I just wanted to give props to whoever is involved, because Riley and I were talking about it before we began recording. Whoever's involved in getting this thing started and created, it has turned into a massive thing for the city. And as someone who lives so far way up here in Virginia, it's always cool to see the fun that it brings and the pictures and everything. So I plan on being there next year. Obviously, things can change, but I definitely plan on being there next year down there for Thanksgiving and attending all class. But I just want to give props to all that are involved in putting that together and how you've created this thing that has pretty much become larger than the Senior Bowl, at least in some people's eyes, and is rivaling Mardi Gras. I don't think anything ever surpassed Mardi Gras in Mobile, but it's getting up there. And last, as we were gone, I guess I shouldn't laugh.
You can.
I thought I told you we won't stop. Mr. Diddy got in a bit of trouble, I guess you can say. Cassie settled a civil lawsuit with him for, we believe, $30 million, but I think it was undisclosed. I'm not sure. But a lot of things were alleged against him. And it was definitely a big talk on social media. So it's going to be interesting because now more women are coming forward, just like with Weinstein, just like with R. Kelly, Bill Cosby. So it's just going to be interesting to see if anyone else gets implicated. We've seen Aaron Hall get thrown into it. A lot of people are speculating or even hoping that Jay-Z isn't one of the people, because he hung with Diddy a lot back in the day. So it's just going to be interesting to see where the different limbs reach out to So that's something to keep an eye on.
That whole story, well, Diddy's a little different because, I mean, he had some serious accusations and some serious... A lot of times when these things come out, first of all, you know, rape, all these things are wrong, because I'm not trying to belittle them. But it's very interesting to see social norms of yesterday be tried with the social lens of today. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, a lot of things that we judge today, you know, 20, 30 years ago was more normal. And it's not even that it was saying it was good or, you know, what do you think? It was just a norm. You know, we going back to not necessarily R. Kelly, but a lot of underage young ladies. I remember when we were in high school, we're dating grown men, right? That was kind of the norm. When I was a junior or senior, the baddest chicks on campus, a lot of them weren't checking for our broke ass, you know? You know, it was the dude who's in college playing football or things like that, where, you know, that was the norm. And so in today's world, like, none of that's acceptable. So I want to see how these things pan out. And I also want to see if people are going to give them, I don't want to say the grace, but it's almost when you look at the situations around it. Like, I forgot when the Me Too movement first started, and whatever celebrity just came out and say, like, we're all victims of that time period. Like, the ways we were taught, the things we were taught, the ways we were taught to move were normalized. A lot of people ought to be judged. It's gonna be very, very interesting. So, but my bad for cutting you off.
Oh no, that's all I got.
Couple things. So, we saw Keke Palmer back in the news with Usher catching strays on that. So, her and her mom, there's a video or audio out now of you know, her and the baby daddy. I never remember his name. That's how unimportant he is in this whole situation. But
Darius
Jackson, yeah, where him and her were fighting. And I just will say, Keke Palmer's mama is a gangster. So she was dropping all kind of F-bombs and calling like him a pussy and a F, and it was crazy. So I was surprised at that. I did not think her mom would be that hood, but you know, it is, sometimes you need that in your corner to call you out and make sure that guys don't overstep. So
what I took from that audio, first of all, her mom is very involved. I'll say that, at least at some of her comments were just
right,
you know. Luckily, she's not in a world where she can get canceled. But what I did take from that is she seemed very open and had no filters. And am I taking up for Darius, but unless harassment equals DV, then I want to know more about what's going on, these allegations, because she seemed like she wasn't holding anything back on that call. And she just kept saying, you keep harassing my daughter. You keep harassing my daughter. What kind of dude calls her this? What kind of dude calls her that? So I'm assuming she didn't know she was being recorded. So it seemed like she had no filter. So if, you know, she seems like the type of person, if
he had actually hit her,
if she was aware of Darius touching her and pinning her hands on her. Because, I mean, she pretty much threaten to get him raped or something? Like, she was just, she was did. All kind of, like, I'm like.
So, I think that was specific to the Usher Vegas thing.
Okay.
I don't think she knew about the DV at the time, perhaps.
But I heard that, and I could be wrong, that she had reached out to his brother in the past about domestic violence or something like that.
Maybe. I do know everybody called a stray. His brother called a stray. Usher. Maybe. She brought his grandma in it.
Oh, yeah. His whole family, his mama.
She's like, daddy, your grandmama, like, your grandmama told me, if you ever listen to your mama, then you stupid. Because your mom, she said your mama. I was like, wait a minute. The grandmama talking about her daughter like that?
Yeah, so it's called both of them crazy. Minute. So that's what I'm saying. It's like, man, it seemed like she would have put it all out there, especially when I heard that she had reached out, and none of that, you know, and I tried to follow a lot of it. I'll try to wait for the facts, but just when I heard it, just as, you know, a normal person, those are things that, because I was waiting on her to say something about it, because she's like, okay, and she about to say, and if you put your hands on my daughter again, like, that's what I was waiting for, because she seemed like she was about that life, and at no point did she bring that up, so... And from my understanding, you know, reports say that this has been going on for a while. All it takes is once. So I'm not saying he did or didn't. It just,
but
yeah, her mom was.
Yeah, yeah. I think her mom probably wasn't aware of it because, you know, none of us were aware of it, right? Like, I think it's one of those things that I think Kiki was keeping that close in house, and not a lot of people were kind of privy to how bad it was, right? Like, I think the harassment, the him trying to be controlling, that part of it, I think was what the mom knew about. I don't know if it was necessarily, you know, as she was privy to as much as, you know, we're starting to learn now.
Kiki kept the DV to herself, it seems, but she definitely didn't keep his penis size to herself, because the mama kept referencing that too. I'm like, why does the mama keep talking about his package in such detail? What is Kiki been saying?
Wow. I was going to let that go.
So, but I just want to throw that out there, man. Other thing is congrats to Haley, the newest member of Alpha, Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. So, I think that's how they say it when she crossed. So, she was so super excited, man. I'm so proud of her. Had a really, really good time at their probate. They did a really good job. So shout out to the Inquisitive 84, I think is their name. I know, right? It's a lot of them. But, you know, they did a really, really good job, man. I'm so proud of them. They haven't had a line in 3 years, so she was really scared she wasn't going to be able to pledge undergrad. And she graduates in December, so I think we'll have one more episode before she graduates, but I'm excited for her, man. She's graduating on the 8th. She was able to cross AKA. Good job on that, man. So it's just on to the next and higher parts and points in life, but just keep pushing, keep climbing, Haley. Super proud of you, baby.
Did you get her the spread that she wanted?
No. Oh, that's another thing. So, parents out there, if you have kids that are pledging now, this new thing that I guess happened during the social media era is that you're supposed to collect all of their apparel that they get from friends, family, and everything. And you're supposed to, like, put the spread out on their bed and let them walk into the room and see it. I knew nothing of that. So she got enough stuff to do it, but I thought the girls were putting that out when they got everything from folks and taking a picture. No, it's this whole thing now where they're supposed to walk in and see it like it's Christmas morning or something. So I didn't do that because I didn't know that was a thing for real. But yeah.
Would you have done it?
I probably would have, or, you know, her mom would have done it if we knew any better, but we didn't think that was kind of how it worked. Yeah. So people were like sending her stuff and she was like collecting it. Over the week, she was getting a whole bunch of stuff, but we would have just kept it all and set the spread out if we had known. So parents out there, that's a new thing. They like it. So if you want to do that and you want to be a part of that, just know that that's something that they kind of expect and like now. I don't like it. I don't like this whole social media. Gotta, like, do that type of stuff. But I'm not a big gift surprise person anyway. So, but... You gotta speak in their love language for not in yours. That's all I got, man.
Yeah, sometimes I just draw the line.
So you're not gonna do that for Sky when she crosses?
Her mama might.
Yeah, yeah.
That's her mama might. But by then it'll be completely different. You know, so
they'll be doing promposals and stuff where they want like cars and all that stuff by then. It's just ratchets up and up more and more.
Yeah, like that pledge.
Yeah, like I pledged. I told her, I was like, I pledged. I had three t-shirts and an umbrella, and I was happy to have an umbrella.
Yeah, I don't think I had all that. Yeah, I think I had a keychain, a freaking dog tag, maybe a shirt.
That's it.
And I ran up, but like a scarf or something random, or a hoodie. Not a hoodie, a Scully. Maybe not. Maybe I got that later. But I don't have a lot, you know. Glad we're officially in that holiday season mode. I think right around that week of Thanksgiving on through Christmas into the new year. It's just a special time. I just love this time of year. As we get older, this time means a lot, you know, different things, you know, like you brought up earlier, Rizzy, you know, this is the second Thanksgiving, you know, your dad's been gone and, you know, those are the memories we have. So I tell people to take the time to reflect on your loved ones. If you are feeling down or whatever, seek help, because, you know, the suicide rate and things go up drastically around this time of year. So I urge all our listeners, if you know anybody that has lost anybody recently or whatever, check in on them. Check on them. You know, I wish I could say that all it takes is a year or so to get over things. It's ongoing. I think Rizzy says that all the time. You know, some days, some months, some years are better than others. All it takes is one situation, one trigger, and, you know, it could be down a rabbit hole. So to everybody, enjoy the holidays for what it is. To our listeners, thank you for rocking with us another year. We're coming close to the end of the year. So with that being said, Three Brothers No Sense, your favorite barbershop style podcast, Six Rules of Podcast. Listen, like, share, subscribe, comment, and most importantly, listen again. Talk to you next week.